everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate you. Now, today I have a wonderful program for you, and it's all about marriage. My guest today is Peter Davidson. He is the author or co-author of 29 books. And when his grandson, Joel, got engaged, Davidson decided to jot down a few words of marital advice for him based on his vast experience as a husband. But then Davidson thought, why share this wonderful wisdom and advice only with one person when he could share it with the entire world? So Peter wrote a lively, upbeat, humorous book looking at married life that any person could relate to and find insightful. His new book is called Marital Advice to My Grandson Joel, Being the Husband Your Wife Won't Throw Out of the Window in the Middle of the Night. So welcome to the program, Peter. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Terry. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, super. Now, what a funny, funny book title. But before we get to the book, Peter, tell us how long you've been married and where you met your wife.
Well, been married 48 years.
Wow.
And met my wife. I had attended a JC's meeting, and she had attended another civic meeting, and we happened to meet afterwards in a restaurant. And we've been acquainted for almost 50 years.
Wow. So was it love at first sight? Did it take a while for you? What's the story?
She's a pretty good looking gal, so I was pretty attracted to start with.
How long did you date before you got married? Do you remember?
About a year and a half.
Now, I assume that she's read the book. What does she think about your advice to your grandson?
Well, initially, she thought that people were going to think she was a horrible person, that this was a biography of her, of some of the things that I put in. I had to convince her that, no, this is just a humorous take on things. So after she looked at it in that light, she really, really enjoys it.
Oh, that's so nice. Now, I know that you've authored lots of books, fiction, nonfiction, college textbooks, children's picture books, magazine articles, even songs. So tell us the story of how you turned from all of those other kinds of books to a book on marriage.
Well, this was just a personal experience book. I know that there's a lot of books out there and people have a lot of knowledge on marital advice and marital counseling, and there's psychologists and people with degrees as yourself. This is purely my own personal advice. It's not based in any knowledge of any kind. And it started out really just as kind of a joke between my grandson and myself. He's got a wonderful sense of humor. And I started out with just really a bunch of one-liners that I thought were kind of funny and that had a little wisdom in for him. And he enjoyed them, and I just kept going.
That's great. Now, who do you want to read the book? Besides your grandson, Joel, who I assume also read the book, who right. would you like to read the book?
It's been surprising. There's been a rather large number of book reviews posted on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Goodreads, places like that. And I'm surprised it's a lot of women that have been reading the book and enjoying it and saying, this is truth. This is the way it is. And my audience I had in mind, of course, was men like Joel, a young man getting married that might pick up a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of insight into what marriage would be like. And most people that have reviewed the book have talked about the two things you did. First of all, they find it quite humorous, which I'm happy about. And find that the things stated in it are actually pretty accurate, pretty true.
So what did your grandson think, by the way? I mean, being male, and you're saying that most of the readers are female, what was Joel's take on it? And was he okay with you doing that?
Well, first of all, he and his wife were absolutely honored that I did this book with them. and enjoyed the book immensely. They both got a wonderful sense of humor, and they looked at it from a humorous point of view. There are quite a few things in there that I think most people would find to be humorous and fun at the same time. So they enjoy the book and love the book. And in fact, he even went into a bookstore and bought a couple of copies last week.
Good. And he probably gives it to his friends. He should give it to his friends as they get married.
That's exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, I like that idea. I really do. So let's get to the book then and your marital advice. I know the book is about 150 pages. I think it's really lighthearted. It's a how-to book. I enjoyed reading it. I laughed out loud quite a few times. And we should tell listeners that you give advice on lots of topics, from the wedding to settling into married life. You give advice like on how to handle the look and how to be spontaneous, helping out at the home. So let's start with some of those topics, Peter. Is that okay?
Absolutely. You mentioned the look.
What that means and what's your advice on that look?
It was one of the first things that I wrote down for him, and that he enjoyed a lot, which kind of got me going. But it said to him, when your wife gives you that steely-eyed, clenched-jaw scowl known as the look, it means you have obviously done something wrong. But what? You will find out as soon as she gets you alone. And I think...
So she gives you the look in public? Is that what we do? We give the look in public, and then in private, we tell you what it means? Is that
it? I think that's kind of the way it goes, and... In fact, he and I have discussed this a little bit, and I said it's exactly the same look your mother probably gave you when you were a child, that you knew you had done something wrong and you were going to have to answer for it. Well, it's the same look, and I think all men understand exactly what I'm talking about.
So what should men do when they get that look from a female partner?
Well, they should actually, from my own experience, you'll know you've done something wrong, but what? There are so many possibilities. So may not even know exactly what it was that was wrong this time, but you'll find out later. I should point out, Terry, that the entire book is kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's kind of meant to be humorous, and that these things, I believe, are actually true and honest things that occur in a relationship, but they're not to be taken too seriously. And I have a lot of other little one-liners or little short quips like that as well that kind of summarize the nature of the book.
And so now I should say also, I agree that you're giving advice, Peter, that's funny, that's based on your experience. But I also know from my own research that women analyze things very differently or think about things very differently than men, especially when we come to relationships. And what happens, I think, as we're thinking about it, Peter, is that we show it on our face, that we express it, even though we are still thinking about it. So even if you may have asked us at the point, like, what did I do wrong? We're still thinking about it. We're still analyzing it. But we're very emotional and we're very expressive in our emotions. So I think you picked up on something that, although humorous from your own experience, is true. Because men and women are so different in relationships. Now, let's talk about the gift giving. That's another thing you talk about in the book. What do you mean? And what kind of marital advice are you giving to your grandson, Joel, on that topic?
Here was my marital advice to him on gift giving. Buy her flowers, candy, jewelry, perfume, a book, a card, or nothing at all. But do not ever buy her an implement of work as a gift. In other words, don't buy her a vacuum cleaner for her birthday present.
Actually, I think I'm going to agree with you on that one, Peter. I don't want a blender or a vacuum cleaner, or as my husband might buy me, Peter, something that would go in my car to help me with my car sense or expertise about cars. So I agree with you. We like gifts. But I think it also, if I had to take it back to my own research, it says that you see us, you notice us, we're special, and you see us in the sense of a romantic partner, right? If you give us a vacuum cleaner or something for my car, you don't see me as your partner, as your romantic, sexy female partner, right?
Well, I think that's true. One of the pieces of advice that I gave him along that same kind of line was something like this. Maybe your wife is a first-rate cook and housekeeper. Maybe she's not. Even if she isn't, keep in mind that you didn't marry her for her domestic skills anyway. You married her for her companionship and the love and joy that the two of you share. And I think that's a good part of marriage there.
That's good. We all have unique, special qualities. So let me ask you, though, Peter, what do you buy your wife for her birthday or for Valentine's Day, one of my favorite holidays?
Well, some of these, in fact, most of these things in the book are based on personal experience. I probably should not admit this, but many, many years ago, when microwave ovens came out and were very popular, for a gift, I bought my wife the best microwave oven that money could buy.
And, and how
that's
did she
when
respond?
I learned. That's when
how
I learned the hard
respond?
Way.
Right, the hard way. So she wasn't too happy, is what you're saying.
So for now, at our stage of life, we enjoy for special occasions to go out to a nice dinner, mm-hmm. go out to an evening, go out and maybe have a few cocktails, go to a concert. Do things basically that we can do together and share together.
That's wonderful. You know, I often recommend that couples do an activity together, and you can do or give your partner that gift of doing for a holiday, for Valentine's Day, for an anniversary. Because what it's really saying, especially for a female partner, is that I know quality time and talking is very important to you. And women appreciate that because we bond, we connect through those kinds of activities, through talking. So if you remember that that's how we connect and that's how we bond, that's really important. So I like that advice. Now, what about the advice on how to be spontaneous? That's another subtitle or topic in your book.
Well, one of the things that I told him is that don't become too boring as you get comfortable in your relationship. Try to remain being spontaneous, to be the kind of slightly crazy, upbeat, fun person that you were that you fell in love with, and just keep doing activities and things together. So exactly like you were mentioning of keeping involved together, doing things together, I think that is the thing that keeps a marriage strong.
Right. I agree, actually. Again, if I had to look at research, all relationships go through what I call relationship ruts, like you were saying, where it's bored, you're doing the same kind of thing, and people get stagnant. They get unhappy then, and it becomes not exciting or fun to be with one another. So if you can be spontaneous, change things up, do something different, like you're saying, very good, because it adds the excitement back. It adds the passion back. And I think people forget, don't you, Peter, that we're supposed to have fun with one another. We're supposed to like one another, right?
Well, that's absolutely true. And that is a foundation, I'm sure, of most relationships, of marriages. If you like the other person, have fun together with the other person, it's going to be a lot more enjoyable for everyone. It's going to last longer, too.
Exactly. And that I have shown to be very true through science or research. And I think what we do is we sort of forget our partner, right, as we go on in a marriage or relationship, because there's so many other things going on in life. You know, we have to work and take care of kids or grandkids. We have to volunteer in our communities. We have to exercise and do grocery shopping and do the laundry, right? But we can't forget our partner. So that's very good advice. Keep things spontaneous. Do things that are new. Now, I know there's one other subheading that I have to say I change just a little bit to keep it clean for radio. And that is the subheading, does this dress make my butt look big? Now, I know you give some advice, right, to your grandson for that situation. Well, what do you say, Peter?
The advice that I gave him and that I have in the book is that this is a wonderful opportunity to say something positive and to make her feel good. Obviously, she is looking for some kind of reinforcement. So rather than saying something that might be hopefully funny and isn't, and that might hurt her feelings, just a wonderful opportunity to say, it looks great, I like it. And as I've said later on in the book, really, when it comes to things about your wife's new hairstyle, her new dress and things like that, even though you don't think it is as good as it could be, that is the role of her mother, her sisters, and her friends to tell her. It's not your role because you'll just irritate her. So that's my personal point of view.
Now, let me ask you a few questions when we talk about that, Peter. So obviously your wife read the book. So she knows that when she asks you, you are going to always be positive. And that even though that haircut or that dress does not look the best on her, you're going to still say it does. What does she say to that? Or what does she respond? Is she okay that you're always going to say, oh, you look beautiful?
Well, I'd say if there's something that is really, really over the top, really, really bad, and that I could try to help her save herself from some embarrassment or something, I might try to find a kind way to say something that would have her reflect upon it herself. And certainly, there have been times, I'm sure, when I have tried to be positive when it didn't work out that way. But I try to be positive and try to be supportive. And also, if necessary, honest, but try to do so in a kind way.
Right. So you don't have to use a word like ugly or it makes you look fat, right? Yes. I always tell couples, perhaps you can say, well, that looks good, but I liked the outfit you wore last week or last month just a little bit better, so that it is, again, having that positive bent or that positive quality. And I think you bring up an important point as well, Peter, about respect, that we know that it can hurt when someone says something negative. So if we can twist it just a little bit and change the tone, then our partner's going to receive it better, correct?
Well, that's very true.
Now, how about helping out at home? I know that's a big topic that many men want advice about. How much should I help out at home? Do I do what my partner or wife says I should do? What do you talk about in the book?
You might notice, Terry, from the cover of the book, there's an image of a young man that's got a vacuum cleaner in one hand. However, his back is turned to his vacuuming. And he's rooting on a ball game that's on television. And the vacuum cleaner has sucked a blanket off of the couch. And in fact, he has vacuumed over the vacuum electric cord and has caught it on fire. And this is one of the images kind of the book that a man should volunteer to do certain things. And I said, well, one of the things you should volunteer to do is vacuuming. And I kind of took that and that was used as an image on the cover of the book. And it is a common thing for men, at least for this guy, myself, to have vacuumed over the electrical cord a time or two, gnawed off the outer casing, and exposed the wires. Oh. And I give advice that before you do the vacuuming, go to the hardware store and buy a roll of electrical tape. And the reason is, sooner or later, you're going to do what this guy did on the cover of the book. You're going to vacuum over the cord and gnaw off the wires and catch the whole house on fire if you don't use that tape. And an example that I say that a man should pitch in and help out, that the idea of man's work and men's work went out the window years ago, and that the broom, the dustpan, and the vacuum cleaner will fit a man's hand just fine.
That's good. I like that. Now, many couples that I work with, though, Peter, talk about how once the man does all those mistakes, right, he sets the house on fire or he runs over the cord, that she says, don't do it anymore. I will do it all. What kind of advice then do you give a man after his wife says that? Like she says, no, I don't want any help anymore. I'm going to do it all. Should he still volunteer?
Well, she might find that it's easier to do it herself and do it right than to clean up the mess he has made. I, for instance, have been banned from painting inside the house.
And, why? What happened? What happened there, Peter?
I'm very fast. I'm a very fast painter, but not very careful. And that's why I've been banned from painting inside. And it doesn't hurt my feelings. And she thinks I did it on purpose, but it's not true. It's just I'm not a very good painter. But if a guy finds there's something he can't handle, maybe he should move on and find something else that he can. There are a lot of tasks that aren't that difficult that a person can do, maybe not to the perfection that somebody else would like to see it. But I think it would be true with my wife, and I would guess with other wives too, that they really appreciate the effort. And if the husband puts in a good, sincere effort at trying to do it properly, even though he doesn't get it done exactly the way it should be, she'll probably appreciate it. And I won't mind cleaning up a few little errors that he made.
I agree completely. I think there are lots of tasks around the house. And so if one task doesn't go well, you can change and go to another one. There are so many things that need to get done when you have a home and a family and a relationship. And I agree also with still volunteer. Just ask. Again, effort is what really counts, that you're still involved. And one of the interesting things that I have found, Peter, is that women like to feel as if they're part of a team. And so that we like that you're trying because we like effort. We like that we're in this together. So still volunteer, still ask, still make the effort. And again, there are lots of tasks around the home. So I think that's great advice, great marital advice for husbands, Peter. I love it. Now, I've been studying couples. And for the last 30 years, I have this research study, Peter, that I've been following the same couples over time. What keeps them together happy and what breaks couples apart? If you had to say, what do you think is the most important factor that keeps couples together and happy? And you only get one, Peter. So what do you think after your 40 some years of marriage, what is the number one thing that you think keeps couples together?
I believe in our case, it was a commitment that we committed to this some 48, 49 years ago, and we have honored that commitment and we have stuck with it. I've noticed some other couples that I thought gave up on their marriage pretty easily, that they didn't fight to keep it together. They didn't fight to make it work. But my wife and I had a commitment. We have a commitment, and that's our goal, to stay together to the bitter end.
I like that. And even though there may be ups and downs, right? There aren't always good times, but even though there are ups and downs, you still have that commitment, is what you're saying.
Well, it's true. You might know, I made one comment in the book about the relationships that a couple I know had been married for over 35 years and claimed in all that time, they never had a disagreement, an argument, or a fight. And my comment was, what's wrong with these people that most married couples will have a disagreement along the way here and there. And it's, I think, a normal part of married life, and you just need to overcome it and continue on.
I agree. And after following these couples, Peter, for 30 years, the same couples, that's one thing that I talk about a lot as well, that all couples have ups and downs and disagreements. You can't expect to agree on everything. And so when you do have that fight, that conflict, that disagreement, it doesn't mean that your relationship is in trouble. It's how you handle the conflict that predicts whether or not you stay together and are happy. Well, you've given us a lot of marital advice. And I love your sense of humor. I think humor is also so important in relationships and marriages over time. So thank you so much for joining us today, Peter. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Terry, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed visiting with you about these topics.
That is super. And listeners, if you want to learn more about Peter's book, called Marital Advice for My Grandson Joel, or see readers' reviews of the book, go to the online bookstores like Amazon, or you can connect with Peter on LinkedIn, and it's Peter Davidson, S-O-N, Peter Davidson. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My personal website is drterrytheLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.